What is going on, everybody? This is John Barr with Prime Homes coming to you with the July 2018 Investor Digest Market Update. So if you are listening to this on a podcast for our Investor's Journey, I encourage you to head over to our website at primehomes.com, scroll down a little bit, and you see the Get the Investor's Digest in your name and email, and we send this audio version as well as a YouTube link and the PDF versions to this audio, so you can kind of get a put some visual to what are these numbers that I'm talking about, and you can kind of digest these and look back and reference these numbers later on. And if you are listening to this too on our Investors Digest newsletter, I encourage you head over to SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcast information or like to listen to your podcast, and check out our Investors Journey podcast that John and I have started putting together. I think we've put out probably 8 to 10 episodes, and it's little tips and tricks of how we run our business, of what we have experienced over our journey of becoming real estate investors. So without further ado, let's get into the July numbers. Added a few slides in here from those of you that have been following this for a while that I think you will find very interesting. So next slide. So remember that these are the May-June numbers. The Bureau of Labor Statistics and our wonderful government runs a little behind in getting employment and unemployment numbers out to me. But the average sales price in San Antonio increased almost 6% to $273,124. Median sales price really shot up again of 6% year over year to 225,000. Total sales just over 3,300, which is a 4.6% decrease year over year, which that I really attribute. I don't think that's really a bad thing. I think it's more of an inventory problem here in San Antonio, that the bulk of our buyers are trying to buy in the $150,000 to $250,000 price range, and there isn't any inventory. A lot of inventory has turned over the last several years, and they're really running out of numbers, which is why our median sales prices really started to climb again, is there's just less homes available and buyers still trying to buy. San Antonio was the net gainer of the first quarter of 2018. I have not seen the second quarter numbers, but we gained the most population out of any major metro in the United States, I believe, at just over 24,000 to 25,000 people. So the average rental price, that's putting a lot of pressure on our rental prices here in San Antonio, which is up just under 2% to 1,507. That's the average rental price across all of San Antonio, New Braunfels, Bernie, up into Stone Oak. Unemployment, just over 1.1 million, which is a 3.29% increase year over year. So that's good, where our employment is increasing at a rapid rate here in San Antonio. We did lose a few jobs from the previous month, but it's a small, very small amount in retrospect to 1.1 million. So we're just over 2,400 jobs lost from the previous month. Unemployment is sitting at 3.16, is a 0.03% increase from previous month, which, meh, that's really not good or bad. I mean, it's a little bad, but 0.03 is nothing of an increase. Now, if I saw those numbers really start to climb 0.4, 0.5, 1%, then I'd be kind of sounding the alarm that, hey, something's going on. People are getting laid off at a pretty rapid rate. I'd expect to see that to roll over into real estate prices pretty quickly. Month's inventory is 3.12, which is a 0.15 increase from the previous month, which is meh, not here, nor good nor bad. Still very, very low month's inventory here in San Antonio. Remember, 6 months of inventory is our balanced market between buyer and seller. Anytime those numbers start dropping below six, that means we are moving towards a seller market, and the lower that number gets, the stronger the seller market is, and the more negotiating power sellers have, because it means there's a lot of buyers and nobody's selling. So that puts a lot of inventory, supply, and demand to increase prices as well. And this was a 3% decrease from this time last year, so that's good. So now you can see how fast, when I was talking about that we have low sales volume, but our median sales price really kind of ticked up over the last couple of years, and I don't know why my mouse isn't working right now, but you can see our real estate cycles, how it goes up in the summertime, down in the wintertime, up in the summertime, down in the wintertime, and you get a little spike usually there in December. So like I mentioned, if you're listening to this on our Investor Journey podcast, I'd head over and get the Investor's Digest so you can see these numbers I'm talking about in these charts and graphs and how they react. But the median sales price has really taken off. We surpassed last month, about a month sooner, than we have historically in the past. So prices are really taking off. So I'll be curious to see what the July number does, because that's usually when we peak out for the summertime for the highest median sales price for a calendar year. And then median sales prices start to drop again as everybody starts going back to school. Monthly rents follow the very same cycles where the summertime prices go up, wintertime prices drop, up in the summer, down the winter. So if you, for all you landlords out there, structure your leases. You're the landlord. You can choose when to lease and renew leases. First rental property I ever picked up, I structured a, I think it was like an 8 or 9 month lease because I wanted that lease to end in April or March, so that if the tenant moved out, I could have 1 month to get a renovation done if I needed to, new paint, carpet, whatever it is we normally have to do, and get it on the market to get that next highest round of rents. So keep that in mind. Structure those leases to be to run just like that. Now, the 20-year unemployment, you can see that the last two bubbles that we ran through of the dot-com bubble and the last real estate bubble. Now, like I said earlier, I'm not worried about a 0.03% increase in the unemployment rate, because you can see we are historically very low. And I know if you're, unless you've been living under a rock and haven't been hiding from the news, it's no secret that we are in a very tight labor market. Unemployments are at historical lows, and they have been for some time, and they're waiting for wages to see if wages rise with those unemployments. But that's why I'm not worried about a 0.03 increase. Now, you can see in the last recession how fast that number really took off. So basically from December of 08 up to January or August of 09, it went from basically a 0.35 all the way up to a 7.5. So just in a matter of a few months, we went up 4%. So if I start seeing those numbers, that's when I'm gonna start kind of sounding the alarm, like, hey, unemployment's rising, something's going on in the market. Be finishing up your rehabs, get them on the market, and drop prices to get those properties sold. So now the year-over-year appreciation. Excuse me, I had to get a drink of water. You can see how fast the unemployment or the year-over-year appreciation can really switch and go higher. That's why I track these things. So, the end of 2011, early 2012 was the last year that our real estate prices dropped year over year. And then that time, by the next summer, they went from a negative 0.7 all the way up to a 0.9, almost to a 0.9. So that can be a huge swing in appreciation rates. But I track this because I want to see if these numbers start to compress over time, because the average appreciation for homes across the nation is 3 to 4% average over time. And you can see, I tracked this the other day, from when we hit bottom to where we're at now, we're sitting at right around a 5.5% average year-over-year appreciation. So that's much higher than the 4%. So it can't continue to keep going like this unless wages start to rise with it, which, like I said before, but hiding under a rock, they're wondering when wages are going to rise, because they are not rising at 4 to 5% like real estate prices are. So you cannot continue to rise unless wages increase or we import jobs and start paying higher. But from what I hear in San Antonio, of having my ear out to the market, I'm not hearing that that is happening here in San Antonio. So that's why I track this, to see, are we going to continue appreciating year over year, or are we going to start to cool down and compress down? I thought we were doing that, but now this last summer, we started hitting eights and nines in appreciation again. So now this is something I found interesting, and I started adding to, I found an article put out by the Texas Workforce Commission and Real Estate Center at Texas A&M. They seem to put this out every month, and I'm going to start including it, of where are the jobs, where are they being added here in San Antonio. And then I found another chart put out by the Dallas Fed of our labor market and where our jobs are at. So we can see, are we adding high-paying jobs to support these prices and these price increases, or not? Are we adding jobs in very cyclical industries like leisure and hospitality, which, when times are good, people are moving, they're taking vacations, they're spending money on events, and that's going to push those prices up. But as they start dropping, that means businesses aren't quite spending money. Now, each one has their cycles, I get it, but I think this is great information to check. So you can see here in San Antonio, We really added a lot of mining and construction jobs. That includes the oil fields and all of the construction jobs. So if you're anywhere in San Antonio, 281, we have major renovations going on outside 1604 in the heavy civil. All the commercial buildings being built downtown with the Frost Tower, the renovations, the tower cranes, the CPS building getting redone. There's several new hotels going down there. So that's no surprise that we're gaining a lot of construction jobs for that. Now, what I'm hoping to see rise, and hoping the old if you build it, they will come kind of adage plays into effect here, that we start getting some of those professional and business services that you see only rose year over year 0.67%, but our construction jobs are higher, because I'm hoping we're building those commercial buildings that are going to bring those professional services that are going to allow people to pay higher prices and fill those buildings. So now I found this put out by the Dallas Bureau of Labor Statistics and adjusted by the Dallas Fed of where our labor market really is. And I thought this is quite interesting. And now something I am happy to see is the health and private education services. Those are typically higher paying jobs. And you can see from January to June of 2018, we have added 3.7% growth in that sector in points or 7.8 here in April through June. And you can kind of see mining and construction are a small, very small portion compared to all of our labor market, but they are increasing at a very rapid rate. So it's interesting to see over time if those numbers start climbing up and start taking a bigger chunk of our labor pool. Now, like I said here, I want to watch this over time is leisure and hospitality, since we are a vacation tourist city. You can kind of see that the hospitality industry has been taking a hit this year, and people have been laying off, and we haven't been adding jobs in that sector as much. But those are traditionally a little bit lower paying jobs in the perspective versus doctors and professors and business services. So now, where to market, the favorite section based on inventory and zip code. This is a section where you can see, where's the most in-demand housing in San Antonio? Where's the most in-demand zip code? Where do people want to live? So here you can see by price range. And what I really look at closely on this chart is the months of inventory. And the most desirable, given the below 50,000, I should really adjust that, because that isn't fair, because those areas are typically cash transactions. Banks aren't financing typical houses underneath 100,000 because they don't qualify. Older homes, older electrical, pier and beam, crack foundations. They typically don't do stuff down, lend on housing that low. But where they do lend is the 150,000, 200,000 price range at a 1.72 months of inventory. There's a lot of homes in San Antonio MSA that fit that criteria. So there's a huge demand for housing in there. So if you're renovating houses in that area or a realtor representing, you don't have a lot of negotiating power because prices are increasing, because there is so little months of inventory. Now you can see San Antonio has a shelf from our 200 to 250 to 250 to 300. Months of inventory increased an entire month across that that threshold. Still very strong seller's market, but even below that 250,000 price point, there is not a lot of inventory and a lot of pressure for prices to increase across San Antonio. So I have to speed up a little bit as I'm running out of time. Months inventory by zip code, 78233 is on the northwest or northeast side by 1604 and I-10. It's kind of where the Randolph Brooks headquarters is at, and they're building a new Live Oak Center. It's no surprise for a lot of these zip codes to be these sub 200,000. So there's a lot of zip codes. There's a lot of homes in a lot of these zip codes, very big, 247, 250, 244, 233, very developed areas of town. So if you own homes in there, chances are they're appreciating at a very rapid rate. Worst zip codes, it's no surprise that these are all higher priced. Now, these aren't bad inventories, bad places to be renovating, but it's something to keep in mind that you have a lot more competition at these higher price ranges than you do in some of the lower price ranges. You have a few buyers have a little bit more choice, so it can take you a little longer to sell a house. So you need to take that into account, because those interest charges are your holding costs and they come right out of your bottom line. So that's really about it. If you guys have any questions, please feel free to email me at john@primehomes.com. And like I mentioned, if you're reading this through the Investor's Digest, head over to the podcast and search for Investor's Journey and check us out. If you listen to us on Investor's Journey, hand over to primehomes.com and sign up for the Investor's Digest so you can get a PDF copy of this of your own. And give us a shout out on social media, Facebook and Instagram, @PrimeHomes. Otherwise, we'll see you guys next month. Thanks.